Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and we want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We count it a great privilege to be able to come this way each and every week at the same time. We thank you for listening in. We've been now at 10 a.m. instead of 11:30 for, I'm going to say, a couple of months now, so I'm getting used to it. I hope you are, and we may have some new listeners that we didn't have before, but we appreciate those that have hung with us, and they continue to listen in at this newer time. But I do want to take just a moment and let you know that if you are in the listening area, if you live here or maybe you're new, maybe you're passing through, vacating in the high country, we would love to invite you out to the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located just outside of Boone on Highway 105 South. You're probably, I think it's 3 miles from the Boone city limits. Then you come to Baird's Creek Road, that is on the right. And we're 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, that is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And so we have Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m. Then our Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m. We have second and fourth Sunday night service at 6. And then also every Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer meeting. So we have many opportunities. We have more information on our church website, and that can be found at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. I want to make just a quick announcement concerning the fall semester of the Victory Bible Institute, and that is coming up very quickly now. Those that attend the classes in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, the classes will start on August 11th, and then correspondence, internet, satellite schools will start 1 week after that on August the 18th. And so if you are interested in this, I would encourage you to look up vbcministries.org. That stands for Victory Baptist Church, vbcministries.org. Pastor Jerry Honeycutt is the man in charge of all of it. And we appreciate Dr. Honeycutt and the work of the school. And over 20 years now, we've been associated with Victory Bible Institute. And it is a great opportunity to further your Bible education. So just mention a few of those things. I want to say hello to Noah. He's with us this morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all those listening in. We do appreciate our listeners. Those who tune in right here on AM 1450, WATA, and 96.5. Those who listen in on AM 690, WZAP, out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And we have been looking for several weeks now at the little pamphlet, the little book called Common Sense by Thomas Paine. This was published in January of 1776, so just a few months before the Declaration of Independence, and it's just a great little book. I would encourage anybody that's interested in our history to get a copy of it. You can find it lots of different places. I know most Christian bookstores have it, and then, any bookstore would have a copy of the book Common Sense by Thomas Paine. But we've been looking at a few different things about just some common sense. It seems like that common sense is one of those things that is just about uncommon. I mean, hard to find common sense. It seems like that that's something that is just about out of operation. And how sad that is. But just a few of the things that we've looked at. We talked about common sense in the purpose of government. Thomas Paine talks about the true purpose of government. What is government supposed to do anyway? And if you look at it and you find this is a biblical principle as well, But the true purpose of government is to protect freedom. It is to protect our liberties. And how government does that is by providing security. Now, when I say providing security, I do not mean that so you don't have to work. I don't mean so you don't have to try. You know, I'm not talking about the government providing everything for you so you don't have to go out and get it yourself. But what I'm talking about in providing security for the people is in the respect of protecting us from evildoers. And that would be those that would rob, pillage, steal, invade, overthrow. That kind of protection is what we are talking about. And so government has a responsibility to protect us from evildoers. That is the true purpose of government. And so in America, we have laws, we have a constitution, and all of our elected leaders, they take an oath, or they swear upon the Bible to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. So we've been talking about different things like that, the purpose of government. We talked about monarchy, the evil of monarchy, and we said in America that we have not a monarchy, not a king, but we do have an oligarchy, which is a rule by an elite class. And just what we find in America, the same people for decades after decades are actually running the show. Privileged families, corporations running when our government is designed to be run by we the people. Well, what I want to look at today, and I'm going to go ahead and get into this, but we're going to look at common sense in we the people. Our government was designed to be operated, to be run. Who is in charge? We, the people, are. And one thing I've noticed about Thomas Paine's book, Common Sense, as I have read and reread several of the paragraphs and pages in this book, is that when Thomas Paine wrote this book, he made his appeal not to the king. He wasn't trying to make a case to the king for the way that things ought to be. He was not making an appeal to the Continental Congress of the time. He was not even making an appeal to the colonies, the original 13 colonies. His appeal, his argument that he makes it directly to the people. And you know what? Ultimately, that worked. We as a nation, in a few short months after that, we declared our independence from Britain. And we established a government of by the people, or we the people. That's how our Constitution starts out. We the people of the United States of America. So our government, the people listened, the people responded. And so we need to have a response by we the people if we want to take responsibility for our future, if we want to take responsibility for our government. If we want to take responsibility for our society, we cannot look to the government to fix everything. We cannot look to the king, so to speak. We cannot expect the governors of the states to fix all the problems. The people have to become involved. And so that is my desire as well. My appeal, and what we've been doing now for over 7 years here on the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, I don't think I've come one time and said, you know, you need to sit down and write a letter to the president. I've got a petition. I've never come one time and said, you know, we need to all get together and sign a petition and send it off to our congressman. I've never said, you know, we need to get together and sign an online anything and send it off to the state capital of North Carolina or something like that. I sometimes think that a lot of that is just a waste of time. I'm sure that the powers that be, whether it's the federal government, whether it's a state government, I'm sure that they receive thousands of letters per day. Do you think that the president sits down and reads these letters that comes in? Now, he might have his attention drawn to a few, but there's some that's all they do. And our government is so big and so large that we've lost our personal touch by and large. But until we, the people, demand something different, all we're going to get is just the same old, same old. And what I mean by that, and I know when I was younger, and I don't mean to be old and grouchy. I'm not that old, and I don't think I'm grouchy. But I will say it like this. When I was younger, I thought that the politicians, if you'd vote the right one in, you'd get the right person, that it would make a difference, and that it actually was designed, I'm trying to be careful in how I say this, that it was designed with the people in mind. But the older I get, the more I see and believe that the system is designed with the politicians in mind, that the ones that are going to be better off are not the common folk, but the ones that are in power. And they'll vote a law in that the rest of us have to live by, but lo and behold, they don't have to live by those laws. And, you and I, we'll work for our existence and retirement and all of these things while they've already got it made in the shade with lemonade. They don't have too much to worry about because we don't have term limits, and people go and they make a career out of it. And so we've talked about that in the past as well. But until we, the people, demand something different, we're just going to get the same old same. And we're just going to get the same old, and I've said this many times before, the Democrats and the Republicans, it's just like two rival leaders of the same gang. And what the one that's in power just does things a little differently until the other one comes along, knocks them out of power, and then they go back to doing it the way they wanted to. But they're pretty much both doing the same things. But this Democrat Republican and our founding fathers, especially George Washington, they and the early ones, Thomas Jefferson, they warned about a two-party system, because what happens is it becomes all about the party and not about the country. And we definitely see that in our country today. And we talked about this last week. There is absolutely no unity in our country. I mean, there is such a line of division in our nation that we can't get along for anything. But until we demand something different, until we have the courage to vote for somebody different or put somebody different in, we'll just get the same old thing. And we'll get more taxes, and we'll get more government control over our lives, and we'll have less and less freedom. And that's the way it will be until we demand something different. Now, I want to say this, and I'm trying to move on today, but people are quick to jump on the bandwagon of change. You know, and we've seen that in the past several years. People come along and that'll be their motto, change. We want change. But if we just cry out, if the mob just cries out for change, for change's sake, but what do they want to change to? What are we going to change? That is a very subjective thing. Are we going to change the Constitution? Are we going to change the Bill of Rights? Are we going to change our system of government? What kind of change? What are we going to change? Now, the cry of the mob is democracy. And I've talked about this before. Our country is not a democracy. Our country is based upon a Republican form of government, and that's not Republican-Democrat form of government, but a Republican form of government is a government that is ruled by law. And so we have laws that we must obey and laws that we must go by. And we are not a country that is to be ruled by the cry of the mob. But we see that our leaders are leading us in that direction. And as the mob cries out for this and cries out for that, our leaders tend to give in to those things. That is a terrible system of government, because next week the mob will cry out for something else. And so it's a very dangerous thing to do that. And just to start changing on a whim or changing at the will of the majority will always result in law and order being set aside and will result in more and more oppression by those that would take advantage of that. Now, I want to mention something that Thomas Paine said about that. He was talking about the dangers of the tumultuous times in which they were living. They were living in dangerous times, and there was a lot of opinions about what the colonies needed to do, whether they needed to stay with Great Britain, if we did declare our independence. You know, there was a lot of turmoil. There was a lot of indecision that was going on. And there was a lot of crying out from the people, oh, we need to do this and we need to do that. And Thomas Paine said this. He said, we shall be in danger of having it. He was talking about the government when he said it. We shall be in danger of having it filled by some fortunate ruffian who may treat us in the same manner. And what he was talking about was when William the Conqueror came into England and subdued England by the sword. William the Conqueror came along and he just overtook the country by force. They were in a time of turmoil. They were in a time of sort of like we are in America, where they couldn't get along. They couldn't decide. There was a lot of cry for change. And so a dictator comes along and takes power by force. It is a very dangerous thing when we begin to give in to just the cries of the people. Now, what do we need in America? There's a lot of cry for change, like I was talking about. But what are we going to change to? And then some would say, boy, we need Donald Trump. And others would say, well, we need Hillary Clinton. And others would say, we need something else. But in my humble opinion, what we really need in America, we don't need a new government. We don't need to switch our form of government. We have a great system of government. It has been blessed and it has been successful for well over 200 years. We have a constitution. We have a Bill of Rights. We have a representative form of government. We have a great system of government. And what is causing the turmoil and what is causing the problems is the abandonment of what has made us great. But what we really need is a return to our Constitution and our constitutional principles. And there are those that see that, that understand that, but they're drowned it out in the big media outlets. And you'd think that the only option we have is Democrat and Republican and all that kind of stuff. But a return to our Constitution would help us tremendously as a nation. And we would find that many of the problems that we have, the answer is already there. And many of the problems that we have, we've already went through one or two or three or four times. But oh, if we could just return to our foundation. And then I've said this as well. We need a revival in our country, a revival that would return us to the God who has blessed us and made us a nation. You know, on our money, it says, in God we trust. And in our Pledge of Allegiance, it talks about one nation under God. You have to just be the blindest of the blind to not recognize the hand of God in our nation. But, and we've talked about this before on the radio broadcast, we have come to the place in America where people, they don't want God mentioned in the public forum. And they don't want God mentioned in the schools. And they don't want the Ten Commandments. And they don't want anything to do with the Bible. And we're in a very dangerous situation to be like that. It is our forefathers recognized that it was the Lord that had blessed us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And they were talking about the God of the Bible. They were not talking about Allah. They were not talking about Buddha. They were not talking about something like that. But we need a revival that would return us to the God that's blessed us and made us a nation. Now, I want to point out something that Thomas Paine brought up in his book, an argument of why some were reluctant to declare their independence. And what is it that hinders us? And here's what Thomas Paine, and this is a great statement. He said, the more men have to lose, the less willing they are to venture. And what he was talking about in that paragraph, he was talking about the subject of commerce, that the great things, most of the great things that nations do are done before they become large and before they become prosperous and before their principal business becomes commerce, trade, making money. And so what he was saying there, while the country is young, and the country was very, very young at that time, that was the time to step out and declare our independence, because he said the more we grow, the more prosperous we're going to be, and the harder it will be to make a change. So he said that statement, the more men have to lose, the less willing they are to venture. And that is very, very true. What is it that hinders us? What is it that keeps us in this rut of, oh, maybe this time, the Republicans will give us somebody? Isn't it sad that in America, of all the people that could potentially be a good president, that we have to choose what we're having to choose from? That's just one of the saddest things about this whole election. And I don't think either one of them is going to satisfy very many people, whoever it is. And it's just a sad, sad state of affairs that we have gotten ourselves into. But what is it that keeps us on this downhill cycle that we're on? I'll tell you what it is. Why won't we demand anything better for ourselves? Because it is because our prosperity that we have, what people do have, they want to keep. Our way of life that we have in America, our houses and our jobs, and we have car payments to make, and we have mortgages, and we have jobs that we have to go to, and payments of credit cards, and our kids are playing sports, and our sports that we want to play. I mean, all these things. And here's what Thomas Paine said again, the more men have to lose, the less willing they are to venture. I mean, who wouldn't rather go golfing or fishing or camping or on vacation than to lead a revolution? I mean, if you get involved in a revolution, you might lose everything that you have. Do you know that's what our founding fathers, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, they pledged their lives, their future, their fortunes. Many of these men were well-off men. They were businessmen. Benjamin Franklin was well-off. He was a wealthy individual. John Hancock was a businessman. And many of these men, they had companies, they had ships, they were involved in different businesses. But they realized, you know, if we don't do something now, we're going to lose everything that we have anyway. And so they decided that was the time to declare their independence. So they risk everything. But why didn't everybody get on board? Because they were afraid to break ties with England. They were afraid that it would hurt their prosperity. They were afraid that they would lose their job, that they would lose their position, that we as a country couldn't make it if we declared our independence. So the more people have to lose, the less willing they are to venture or to be adventurous or to try something else. And so we need a return to the Constitution. And we've had a few candidates down through the years that have said, you know, that's what we need. But people are afraid to do that. It would be a major change for America to go back to our constitutional government, because we have the government doing many things that are not outlined in the Constitution, and people are afraid. They're afraid to do that. We need a return to the Constitution. We need a revival that'll return us to God. That I went last night to the revival in Burlington, North Carolina, and so I'm tired today, I'll be honest. I didn't get into bed till 1:30, and that's way past my bedtime. But these people have been going to revival meeting for over 12 weeks, I believe it is. And they have seen over, I think they said 1,200 people have walked the aisle and made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you talk about some people have really sacrificed in order for that revival to take place. Can you imagine taking your whole summer? Is it that important? And people have gone every night, and people have invited people and brought people, and people have given money, and people are working down there. I mean, there's a lot of effort goes into a meeting like that. I don't know how many chairs would fit under that tent. I think maybe about 3,000, something like that. It's huge. It's huge. And the cars were lined up everywhere. But people have got to get to the place where they're willing. They're willing to venture. They're willing to put aside some things that normally they will not put aside. Well, people, I've heard people say, well, we could have that in Watauga County. We could have a revival like that. But what it is, we don't want our commerce. We don't want our income. We don't want our daily lives interrupted. We don't want to pay the cost, the price that it would take. I've been preaching on Sunday mornings at Mount Lebanon for the past several weeks on the subject of the life of a soldier. And here's what Timothy said. Now, Thomas Paine said, the more men have to lose, the less willing they are to venture. But here's what Paul told Timothy. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And see, in modern day American Christianity, what we are, a lot of times we are entangled with the affairs of this life. We are so caught up in this present life that we have, and just the way it is, and job and sports and, you know, standing in the community and fear of change and all of these things. And so we're entangled. And a good soldier cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life. Let me quickly read this. This is the very conclusion to the book by Thomas Paine, the little pamphlet, and he's talking about he's talking about America declaring their independence. He said, these proceedings may at first appear strange and difficult, but like all other steps which we have already passed over, will in a little time become familiar and agreeable. And until an independence is declared, the continent will feel itself like a man who continues putting off some unpleasant business from day to day, yet knows it must be done, hates to set about it, wishes it over, and is continually haunted with the thoughts of its necessity. And I think that's where we are in America. We know that we cannot continue on the way that we are. We cannot continue on with the debt. We cannot continue on with our military being spread all over the nation. There's so many things. We cannot continue on morally on the path that we are on, spiritually on the path that we're on. But what to do? What to do? Well, maybe somebody will come along and do something. It's up to the people to make a change. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. I do appreciate you listening in. I appreciate I appreciate those that take time to do that. And Noah's going to come give the contact information. I hope you have a very blessed day.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.
Hi, I'd like to apply for a student loan.